The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. From there Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Jesus then returned to this region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon toward the Sea of Galilee in the region of Capolis. They brought him to a deaf man who had impediments in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hands on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue, then looked up to heaven and sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," which means "be open." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one. But the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." The Gospel of the Lord. Holy God, we ask that you send your Spirit to rest upon us. Fill our hearts and our minds with the knowledge and love of you, and the knowledge to know that in you all things are possible. Amen. Evidently, our friend from the Gospel is not the only one tongue-tied today. It's Tyre, not Tyre. But not what I want to preach on, but I want to just point something out really quickly. Well, two things that need to be pointed out. One, this whole feeding the children before the dogs and all that stuff, what that's about. It was all about Jesus at this point in Mark's particular gospel is pushing this fact that he's there for the Israelites, and then later with some redaction they came in and were trying to explain that he was there for everybody, so even this Phoenician woman, her children would receive his blessing and his grace. That's what that's all about. There's your sermon. I'll see you next Sunday. The other thing is that's interesting about this woman. Have you ever noticed Jesus loses three arguments in the gospel? One is the woman at the well. His mother, when she wants him to make more wine, and he says, "It's not my time," and she says, "Yes, it is," and he does. And then this woman who gets her child healed despite his difference of understanding of his ministry. Jesus loses three arguments in the gospel, and they are all to women. Welcome to my world. It's a universal fact, and I'm glad to know that Jesus is on board with this person. But that's not what I'm going to preach on today. Actually, I want to get serious for a second. From the reading from Proverbs today, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. The favor is better than silver or gold. The rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of all. Whoever sows injustice will reap calamity, and the rod of anger will fail. Those who are generous are blessed, for they share their bread with the poor. Do not rob the poor because they are poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate. For the Lord pleads their cause and despoils of life those who despoil them. Episcopalian 101. Power, and privilege are to be used for the lifting up of the poor and the oppressed, and for the increase and participation in God's kingdom. It's that simple. And yet, so often, if not more often than not, we see power and privilege used to crush the very ones who need the assistance the most, for the singular purpose of increasing that power and increasing personal wealth. It just happens. We see it day in, day out. It's the human condition, sad to say, and sometimes it just seems worse than others. So I want to take a little bit of time of personal privilege and speak to you about something that I have not spoken about yet, and I apologize for that. Over the last month or so, we have received a deluge of information coming out of the courts in Pennsylvania about the abuse of children at the hands of priests. Now, it's nothing new. We've been hearing about this now since really, you know, the whole spotlight issue came out of the Boston Globe some almost 20 years ago. In fact, interestingly enough, I was in Boston at the time when that came out. And let me tell you, the world froze. But every time we hear more news about this, it seems to be getting worse. The indictment of the church leadership seems to become greater and greater about not only their participation in this absolute perversion of power and privilege, but in their desire to push it aside, to hide it, not for the increase of the kingdom, not for the safety and concern of those who have been abused or those who might be abused, but for the sheer purpose of isolating, insulating, and protecting the institution. The kingdom of God is of God. The institution of the church, at its best and at its worst, is a creation of mankind. And that's not a misuse of the pronoun man. It's man-made. It just is. Now, what's been interesting in lately, we've heard, is more and more allegations coming out against the female religious in the abuse of children. Power and privilege, when corrupted and perverted to this extent, can be labeled as nothing but absolute evil. Over the last few decades, in Pennsylvania alone, they have documented over 1,000 cases of child rape and sexual abuse. And that's the ones they've named. You know how that works. Titanic, iceberg, anyone? You know what I'm talking about? What you see is usually just a very small part of what you get. Over 300 priests named in the allegation. 300. And that's not the ones named for hiding and helping shelter. That's those who are actual abusers themselves. When power and privilege is used for no purpose other than, hell, I don't even know what the purpose is there. The feeding of evil appetites. We have gone far astray from where we are called to be. And don't get me wrong, silence is just as bad as the act itself. And it's not just Pennsylvania, it's not just Boston. We're seeing it out in Delaware, we're seeing it out in Rhode Island, we're seeing it out of Ireland, we're seeing it out of Argentina. I mean, and these are the places where it's coming to light. Seriously? As an ordained individual, I may fall short. No, let me rephrase that. As an ordained individual, I fall short of my ordination vows. But it was very clear to me, not just from day one, but from my very childhood, that the protection of the weak is the call of everyone. But particularly those who God has entrusted with public ministry. I am somewhere between anger and despair. We call that Tuesday. But it's not just in the institutional church. I mean, in this country alone, we're cutting SNAP food stamps dramatically. School lunches are in danger. Think about that for a moment. On our southern borders, there are still over 500 children of asylum seekers who have been separated from their parents, many of which, if not most of which, have already been deported. Get that image straight in your mind for a second. You've come to a place for the sheer purpose of protecting your child and trying to make a better and safer life for them and for yourself. That child is snatched away, never to be returned. We call that kidnapping. When power and privilege are used to increase power and wealth, it is corruption. It is perversion. And it is certainly not the way of God. When an institution, whether it be a church, nonprofit, a governmental organization or entity, or a government itself, intentionally crushes the will, spirit, and lives of the weakest amongst us, it speaks volumes about their belief system. And what little I know of Jesus tells me it is certainly not the message of the living God. So what are we called to do? Who are we called to be? I mean, many of us are parents. And many of you play that role in the lives of many people. You know your number one job is to protect the well-being of that child. And you know as your children get older, that becomes less and less possible because they become more and more independent. It becomes more and more painful. Because your heart is pre-programmed to want to care for your children. And as followers of the living God, we know, we understand that we are all God's children. And we are called to be the protectors of each other. And not just people we know and we like and are like us and pray like us and think like us and all those things that make it life easy. But particularly those who we don't. For me, and maybe I'm just naive, maybe I'm just Pollyannish or a child in many ways, but for me, it's just so obvious. It's just so easy. Either you believe in what is right or you don't. Either you see evil as bad or you don't. We may all interpret the life and ministry of Jesus in different ways, but there are some pretty basic standard operating principles that I would bet we all believe in. I am, how many times have I used this expression in the last like 3 months? I am so sick and tired, other than to my children, I've been using that for years with them, but I am so sick and tired. I am grieved when I hear another person stand up in another place and profess evil in the name of God. Defending the indefensible, like I said, is just as bad as the act itself. And silence is a defense. The kingdom of God, as I understand it, is about the lifting of all folk. Coming to universal understanding of God's universal love and compassion. Now, we have this conversation all the time, at least I do with people, that say, well, why does God let this happen? You know, why do bad things happen to good people? I'm still waiting for the book, Why Do Good Things Happen to Bad People? That's the one I wrote. Because God placed us here with free will. To lift it up or to screw it up. So as followers of the living God, of those who profess Jesus as the incarnate, the Emmanuel, what do we know? What do we know? We know that we are called to reach out in love to those who feel unloved. To reach out in care to those who receive no care. To reach out in bonds of fellowship to those who struggle, to walk the journey with them, to lift them up when they fall. Because I know that when I fall, I don't want to do it alone. I want to know what it's like to be lifted up because I've helped others to be lifted up. To feel worthy of that love because I have been willing and brave enough to love. These are all questions you're going to have to answer for yourself. I can tell you what I know. I can tell you what I think. I can tell you what I believe. While some may say my ego knows no bounds, I still don't know what you think. I think I do. But you can only be you and I can only be me. So how are we going to be the best us?